You are listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Hello, Scott Pridemore here with Mike Hakey for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Today, we welcome Michelle Eichard with Michelle in the Middle. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. So let's get right into it. Oh, middle school. we all kind of chuckle and we get grins on our faces when we think about our experience, and everyone has a different experience. You know, I mean, I felt like I had a positive one, but awkward in certain cases. And that's sort of that. And I love your connection to in the middle, being that it is kind of it's an in between, you know, the early elementary and then the high school and then the transition that takes place. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how you serve families.
Sure. So I have been doing this job kind of my own creation for the past 14 years. And what I do is I work with kids who are either in or approaching middle school and their parents to help them have the best possible middle school experience. And my work is really centered around the social aspect of middle school. So I'm not the person you would call if your kids' grades aren't great or if you need help with organization, although I was at one point that person, which is what led me to this. But I really was drawn to helping kids through friendship changes and peer pressure and all of the social pressure that happens and the lack of confidence that can come up with that and the risk-taking. So I have summer camps for kids who are in middle school, and it's really those are centered around developing leadership skills so that you can better handle yourself in those situations. I have conferences for moms and their daughters who are going into middle school. I wrote a book on it, and I travel around the country, and I talk about it. So I am fully consumed with middle school all the time. Yeah.
Fantastic. Seems like, in particular, this day where we are with social media and how families are maybe not as connected to of their parents or with just that whole overlay of being the division of time with two parents at work. This would be a phenomenal resource, it seems, for families to sort of dial in with the camps and for kids to once again get back to what matters, and that's family and really connecting with people. How does that social media piece overlay with what you do for folks?
I will say that social media is one of the things that causes parents the most amount of fear and anxiety when their kids are in middle school. It's a question that I get a lot. Should I let my kid? At what age should my child? Is my child going to be really disconnected from their peers and their community? They have a lot of questions and a lot of concerns. Kids are pretty clamoring for social media. My feeling on this is social media is a tool like lots of tools that can be both dangerous and helpful. You know, and I often use the analogy of a knife. You would allow your kid to use a sharp knife in the kitchen as you're teaching them how to cook, but it's a matter of how they learn. So you would initially work with them. You'd do the cutting. Then you'd hold their hands while they cut. Then you'd, you know, stand back and watch them cut. And then eventually they're cutting an apple and you're not even home. So that sort of approach is the one that I advise parents to take with social media. I know a lot of people are saying, no, never. There's no value and no benefit to it. But I think it's a tool, and if it's taught well, there can be value and benefit, but it doesn't have to be an all or nothing kind of situation.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yep. I'm curious, Michelle, how do you navigate parents who really want to be in the know with their kids and they have no clue about what's going on their phones and they have no idea? I mean, how do you advise parents to stay more in the loop?
I think it's funny when parents say that they want to know everything. I was reading a blog this morning and a mom was saying, we just wish our kids would come home and tell us everything, but they don't tell us about the risks they're taking. And I was astounded that she was surprised, because we all took risks as kids growing up. We have to earn our wisdom, and it's unfair to put kids in a position where they don't get a chance to make mistakes and to learn from them, even to feel guilt. You know, that's a really important teaching tool for us as humans. So I think we really don't want to know everything. What are we going to do with that information? I mean, you know, it's just a natural part of growing up. Having said that, there are, because in the case of telephones, as you're talking about cell phones, there can be some safety issues there. So I think it's important for parents to say, with any new technology, with any new tool, we're going to learn this together. I'm going to be checking it from time to time. I'm going to tell you that right up front. And slowly but surely, I'm going to see that you're using it well, and I'm going to be checking it less and less and less. And I think it's important for kids to have the chance to earn that.
Fantastic. So with respect to social interaction at middle school, what are some challenges that you're seeing kids deal with day to day with peers?
Well, I think they're the timeless things. You know, I think in middle school, the real quest is to figure out who you are and if you're normal. That's the biggest fear for these kids. They're looking around at each other in the hallway. And in middle school, everyone looks different. Everyone's developing at a different rate. Everyone's not just physically, but maturing emotionally and socially at a different rate. So it's easy to look around and think, man, I'm really not normal. I don't act as cool as them. I'm not as sophisticated as that group. I don't play sports as well as them. So I think that is a timeless quest, and I think what it causes is a real lack of confidence and security. And the sort of antidote to that is talking about it and education. And we don't have to act like we can't let kids know about what's happening with their brain development and their body development and their social development, but to really be forthcoming. Right. I think it's important.
Very good. And it's so timely that you know we're having this conversation with our children in middle school before they really stop listening to us.
And I love that you brought that up, because I think that can be a good reason to begin to teach your kids how to use social media earlier. They're listening. And if I know plenty of parents who say, when my kid goes to college, they can get on social media and they can have a phone, but not until then. And I think, boy, you're not going to have any influence at that point. Don't you want to teach them how to be a good citizen socially? You know, how to make nice comments and how to ignore the bad and all of that stuff. So something to think about.
So with regard to keeping that open line of communication open and available with your child at home, how important is mealtime?
Ooh, I think mealtime is very important, but shouldn't be a stressor. So if you can't do it every night, if you can't have a family meal every night, that's okay. If you can find other ways to connect, or maybe you switch it to a family breakfast, everybody gets up a little early and you do that. I know families have a lot going on, and sometimes it's just difficult to get everybody to meet at the same time. But as much as you can sort of create that sacred space for families to get together and sit around a table or watch a movie together or take a hike or, you know, any of those things, I think it's such a good way to touch base. And of course, those times should be no phone times.
Very good. Excellent information. Now, you are a contributor to the Today Show, Washington Post, and a number of other publications. How are you delivering and getting the message out?
I do a lot of travel, so I talk around the country. I've even talked internationally at schools, so I love to do that. I'm working on my second book right now.
Congratulations.
So thank you.
Awesome.
Don't say that yet. Hopefully it's all going to come together. But I'm really enjoying that, certainly through my website, and then again through the camps and conferences.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier developing leadership skills as part of kind of that the crux of, you know, the summer camps. And Athena's Path for Girls and Hero's Pursuit for Boys seem to be very popular, greatly attended. And what do you teach them about tough topics and boosting confidence as it relates to them starting their new school year and developing these leadership skills?
Oh, that's a great question. We have about 20 to 25 camps every summer. So I'm really pleased with the popularity of the camps and how they've grown. And I almost feel like for some people it becomes a rite of passage, which is what I want. I like ritualizing certain points of our life. And I like the idea that, oh, now you're going to middle school, you're old enough, you can go to Athena's Path, you can go to Hero's Pursuit. What they learn at these camps are strategies for dealing with their changing brains. So things like how to become a problem solver. Up to that age, they're used to letting their parents solve things for them. And I really encourage parents and kids to let kids begin to solve their own problems in middle school.
Yes.
And there's a formula to that. And so we teach it to the kids. How to deal with criticism is another one. Kids can become so sensitive when they're in middle school and they don't feel normal, or they feel like judged by all of their peers. And so we talk through and give ways to deal with that. But all of this happens through games and activities and fun and bonding. And that's what keeps kids coming back and the camps growing.
I just think it's fantastic that you're doing this and you're allowing parents, or you're providing ways for parents to stay engaged with their children so they don't lose confidence and they understand that it's a learning process and they build self-reliance through these programs. On that note, how are you recommending folks deal with, I have a daughter that's just finished middle school, and occasionally there's experience of girl drama.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably a term that maybe it might be overused, but we felt like it's relevant.
I think it's happening more and more with boys as well, which is fascinating to me. When I started this program, I thought there was far less drama among boys, and I really see that increasing now. It used to be that boys would be pawns in girl drama, and now boys have their own drama. So that's an interesting sort of sidebar. But what I encourage parents to do is to be a really good sounding board. What girls tell me at my mother-daughter conference is that they do not want their parents to solve girl drama for them. What they want is for their parents to empathize, to sit next to them, to listen to them talk about it, and for the girl to be able to sort of openly process it without feeling like their parent is judging them or trying to fix it or solve it. And I feel like for so many of us, that's what we want when we have a problem. I often use this example. If I am coming down Randolph Road to go to a meeting midday, and I'm late, and I tell my husband at night, oh my gosh, I was late to this meeting. It was so embarrassing. There was so much traffic. And he says, oh, you should never take Randolph Road at that time of day. You should always go down, you know, Providence. It's less traffic. I'm like, that's not what I was telling you that for. I don't want you to fix this for me. I want you to pour me a glass of wine and be sweet to me.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, it's so good. And that,
yeah.
That's what our kids want.
Laura tells me, could you just take the fix it hat off and just listen?
Yes. And that's what we need to do as parents. We're so programmed to make our kids feel less pain that we forget to just listen.
Yeah. Good stuff.
No, this is great information. And I just think about what is probably the best piece of advice you can impart with a parent that's really nervous about their kid going into middle school, they're embarking this new journey, the child in themselves are nervous about going. What are some takeaway nuggets that to help them better prepare?
I would say take a deep breath. This is the first step on a very long journey. Don't worry that what your kid experiences or experiments with or any of that in middle school is the end of the road. You know, I'll have parents say, oh, my kid is starting to lie, and I don't want to raise a liar. I'm like, well, it's just a thing, you know? It's just a thing some kids do for a little while to kind of try to push boundaries and figure. It doesn't mean they're going to end up being a criminal, right? So we tend to jump to these conclusions about middle school behavior that is an indicator of what they will be like as an adult. So I don't want parents to worry about that. It's a bumpy little phase, but we all get through it. And I think it's important for parents to understand that this is really, as there's a psychologist who calls this the age of opportunity. So it's not doom and gloom and what I'm worried about might go wrong, but boy, what are all of the amazing things that could happen as my kid begins to start to think and feel and act like a little adult? It's pretty cool.
Oftentimes we have folks that are relocating into Charlotte from other areas that may need some direction. I'm excited to share what you're doing with the people that we're connected to, as well as people that are incoming from other areas of the country, and just really trying to understand what that middle school experience would be for them. So how should people get in contact with you about Michelle in the Middle?
A couple ways. So my website, MichelleEichard.com or MichelleInTheMiddle.com. Both of those are good ways to get general information. And then I've got a Facebook page. It's for Michelle in the Middle. And then I also have on Facebook, a private parenting group. I've got about 4,000 members right now. And it is a very supportive, thoughtful group of parents of middle schoolers. And it's a very safe place to ask questions about what worries you, what confuses you, to have a good laugh. It's a non-judgmental environment, so people are welcome to join that.
Very good. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today for an episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Mike Hagee, Scott Pridemore. Thank you.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at pridemoreproperties.com.